would you speak to us through these words? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to begin with one last Christmas story, if you'll allow me to. There were a group of first graders who were trying to put on a nativity production of their own for their church, and they decided they were going to modernize it a bit. It had all the usual characters. It had Joseph, it had the shepherds, it had the wise men, had the star kind of propped up in the back, and angel and stuff like that. But Mary was conspicuously absent. And so as the production began, Joseph is pacing back and forth on the stage. And behind the bales of hay, the audience members begin to hear groans and moans. Obviously, Mary is in labor. And so as Joseph is pacing back and forth, another kid comes out dressed as a doctor, wearing a white coat and with a stethoscope around his neck. And so as soon as he arrives, there's a great sigh of relief on the face of Joseph, and he takes the doctor back behind the bales of hay, and then he comes back out and he starts pacing back and forth again. And after a few moments, the doctor comes out with a big smile on his face and says, "Congratulations, Joseph, it's a god." Well, I want to ask a question today. I suspect that most of you here believe in God. And I wonder if you've ever thought about, why do I believe in God? Some of you might say, well, I just believe in God. I just do. Some of you might say, well, I've always believed in God. Or I was raised to believe in God. But really, would you be able to share with another person why you believe in God? I want to give you some ideas, some thoughts today about why we might believe in God. Why do we believe in God at all? And certainly, when we talk about believing in God, one of the things that we can look at is what Scripture has to say, because Scripture has a lot to say about why we believe in God. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. It's on page 1745 in the Pew Bibles. Romans chapter 1. And here, St. Paul is talking about how God has revealed himself. And so, when we talk about believing in God, we have to realize that God has to somehow reveal himself in order for us to recognize that he's real, that he is alive, that he is in fact God. And so in Romans chapter 1, again that's on page 1745, starting at verse 18, we read these words: "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people, who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them." Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." So Paul is saying here that God has revealed himself through the creation. And how has God done that, or why has God done that? Because we see around us the amazing design of the universe. We see the amazing design of the solar system, of the earth, and the complexity and intricacies of the creation around us. We see how things are amazingly designed to work together, to function together, and to reflect a variety that random chance just could not produce. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." Just as this church building was not built by itself, just as it did not come together on its own, it had to have a designer in order for it to be constructed, so too the universe and the world in which we live had to have a designer behind it. Because the universe is finite and had to have a beginning, that means that there had to be a first cause for all that has come about. Because something cannot come out of nothing. There has to be a first cause that brings something into existence. Another thing that points to the existence of God is the existence of moral laws. These moral laws show that there has to be a being that is greater than any of us and that rules over creation. there has to be an ultimate source of right or wrong, right and wrong, or else right and wrong are simply something that human beings come up with, and we're all fallible. And so ultimately, right or wrong has to have an ultimate source, and that source must be a being beyond us as human beings. The greatest proof of the existence of God, however, is found in our gospel lesson today. So if you wouldn't mind turning to the Gospel of John again, John chapter 1, and in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1646. And in John chapter 1, as you just heard me read in the gospel lesson, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word." Of course, that is reminiscent of the beginning of the Old Testament as well, where God said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Well, John writes in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him was nothing made that has been made. In him was the life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So before Jesus came into this world, he was known as the Word. The Word who existed from all eternity with the Father. And so God said, God created all things through his Word. As we read in Genesis, God spoke and the limitless universe leapt into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be living beings," and there were living beings. God said, "Let there be stars in the sky," and they were there. So he created all things through his Word. So the Word made everything, and yet people of the world did not recognize him as the Creator. And in verse 11 it says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." And so his own people, of course, it is referring to the fact that Jesus came to this world to the Jews. And the Jews, by and large, rejected him. In verse 12 it says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." So the Word came to the Jews, but the Jews mainly did not accept him as their Savior, as their Messiah. But the Word did not just come to the Jews, he in fact came to the whole world. And so to all who received him as their Savior, he gave the right to become children of God. Are you only a child of God if you come to be adopted into the family of God? And you are adopted into the family of God by believing in Jesus Christ. And thus you are made a child of God by adoption. So verse 14, John writes, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word left his heavenly throne and came down to this earth to be miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and then to be born as a human being. And as he was born as a human being, this tells us that God did not choose to leave us as human beings to be separated from himself because of our sin. Instead, he came to our rescue by sending his Son to take upon himself human nature. And so Jesus Christ is born for us as a human being, and yet, in so doing, he also maintained his divine nature. So he was both God and man at the same time. Listen to how St. Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 1. You don't need to turn there, but it says this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Paul goes on to say in chapter 2 of this particular passage in Colossians that in Christ, the fullness of the deity lived in bodily form. So we see that God came to this earth as a human being, and he lived his life out on this earth as a human being. J.B. Phillips once put it this way, Christianity begins with a historical fact. Indeed, its starting point is the most important event in the whole of human history. The Christian religion asserts that more than 2,000 years ago, God visited this small planet of ours in person. Naturally, the only way he could do this was to become a human being. And this is precisely what Christians believe he did. That God so asserted himself into the realm of human history, and that we are consequently living on a visited planet, end quote. Theologian Karl Barth, before students and faculty at Princeton in 1963 during his Princeton lectures, a student asked him, "Sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in other religions and not only in Christianity?" Barth stunned many who were present when he thundered, "No, God has not revealed himself in any religion, including Christianity. He has revealed himself in his Son." End quote. Congratulations, Joseph. It's a God. How do we know that there is a God? We know it by looking at the creation around us, seeing the complexity, the design, the variety, and the beauty of creation. It points to a designer. It points to a creator. We know that there is a God because the existence of moral laws that all people in all nations recognize and begin live by. But the main way we know that there is a God is that he has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ, through whom he made the world and through whom he ultimately affirmed the moral commandments he established. Jesus proved that he came from the presence of God and is the Savior of the world by living a perfect life that we could not live, and by perfectly keeping the commandments of God, by fulfilling over 300 ancient prophecies, by predicting his own death and his own resurrection, and by accomplishing those things on his own. He accomplished things that no other religious leader or no other person in all of human history ever accomplished. He claimed to be God, so he either was a liar, a lunatic, or he was evil, or he was who he said he was, God in human flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 18, the end of our reading today, John writes, "No one has seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known." So if we want to know if there is a God, we need to get to know Jesus Christ. And the better we get to know Christ, the more we will get to know God. And certainly as we get to know Jesus Christ in our lives, then we become children of God, and the reality of God becomes more apparent to us. It becomes more experiential for us in our lives. It's important for us to remember and recognize that there are great evidences for the existence of God, and to remember that, especially when we face difficult times in our lives, especially when we face situations that might cause us emotionally to question the reality of God. So when we begin to question that the goodness of God, the reality of God, we can remind ourselves that yes, there is ample evidence for the reality of God, and that we need not base our belief on God simply by our emotions, but instead upon the way that God has revealed himself, not only through his creation, the moral laws, and ultimately through his Son, but the reality of how he has revealed himself to us in our hearts as we have put our trust in him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given evidence of your reality in many different ways, but primarily through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to not only grow stronger in our faith as we get to know your Son better, but also that you would help us to be able to convey that faith to others who might be questioning your reality. Lord, help us to be aware of those around us who are walking in darkness and who need the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be able to explain rationally why you exist and how they might come to get to know him as well. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be called your children through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.